You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. Very little besides the timing and the target is understood about what is being called the worst explosion in Pakistan's history. Over the weekend, a dump truck loaded with explosives, including TNT and mortars, crashed into the front gate of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. When it exploded, it left a giant crater, 53 dead, wounded more than 250. If you're a member of Pakistan's ruling elite this morning, you're probably a pretty nervous person. Joining us to talk about who the target might be and what this attack means for the future of what the Bush administration has called the vibrant democracy of Pakistan is Christine Fair. She's a South Asian and military analyst at the RAND Corporation. Christine, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There is no official claim of responsibility. There's been a lot of talk that this has something to do with Al-Qaeda. The interior minister in Pakistan even said all roads lead to Waziristan, which is, I guess, is a veiled reference to Al-Qaeda. What's your view?
Well, actually, the all roads lead to Waziristan reference most likely refers to Baitullah Massoud, who is the purported leader of the Tehreek-e-Taliban of Pakistan, which is the so-called Pakistan Taliban. And his cadres are also the culprits that were likely behind the large suicide attacks that first targeted Benazir when she returned to the country, and then, of course, successfully in December, which resulted in her death.
So this is a continuation of an internal sectarian struggle within Pakistan rather than, as some have said, a new initiative on the part of external forces bent on changing the relationship between Pakistan and the United States.
Now, the Pakistani Taliban are also intent upon changing that relationship. When I look at this attack, I know most of the Western media have really focused on the Marriott status as a Western target and the fact that the American embassy still sends people there. In fact, I was stuck there in February when I was an election monitor, very much against my will, I might add. But actually, the timing of this attack tells me that they were also targeting, maybe even more so, Pakistan's elites. They chose to attack right after Iftar, which is when, you know, the hoi polloi of Islamabad were crammed in that hotel to break their fast. There's no way they could have, even had it been completely successful and had the truck been able to breach the security perimeter outside the hotel, there's no way that they could have killed in such a way that the preponderance of victims would not have been the fabulously wealthy and the upper middle class of Islamabad that flocked to the Marriott because of its status.
Is that to say that this is a class struggle kind of attack against a rich ruling elite who happens to be observant in the fact that they were breaking fast appropriately on the Ramadan holiday?
I suspect what's going on. You know, the Pakistani Taliban have really, since 2006, have been using suicide attacks to target a wide array of Pakistani targets, including ISI, including the military, paramilitary, police, high-value leadership, etc. What on the main Pakistanis have concluded is not that they need to launch their own war on terrorism to secure the sanctity of their country as they wish to live in it. Rather, most Pakistanis have concluded that they are being attacked because of their alliance with America. So I think that this attack is really equally intended to not only make Westerners realize that they can be attacked anywhere and everywhere, but equally important to continue driving that wedge between the Pakistani population and the United States. I think this was hoped that there was in such a signal to the elites that they are being targeted because of their relationship with the United States, that they would continue to put pressure on their political elites to stop the military operations in Fatah, such as they are, and to really move away from the alliance with the United States that was forged under President Musharraf, who was also, you know, obviously very despised at this point.
Chris, what do you think the significance is that no one has claimed responsibility? Because usually after attacks in Pakistan, you see someone claiming. And secondarily, you talk about the significance of the location, that being Islamabad. Can you recall a bolder attack in the country's capital ever?
Well, actually, absolutely. They also did a suicide attack on ISI headquarters, which would be the equivalent of CIA headquarters. So I don't necessarily see anything more audacious. And they had previously attacked this hotel. So, I mean, this is really pushing the envelope. The thing that I thought was interesting about this attack was clearly the attack did not go off as successfully as planned. Nonetheless, despite the fact that it couldn't breach that security gate, because it hit this gas main line, the hotel blew up. It's not clear to me that they knew about the gas main line and that would catalyze the fire. So I don't necessarily see that this is the most brazen attack. I mean, obviously, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto was pretty brazen.
That's pretty brazen. Well, at the very least, it appears that this attack will reset the agenda for a meeting between President Asif Ali Zardari in New York this week, as all the leaders of the world gather for the UN General Assembly meeting. And it's a relationship that's already complicated by problems with cross-border raids and changing rules of engagement between U.S. forces operating in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and all sorts of things going on along that border. Christine Fair, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great morning.
Sure. Christine Fair is a South Asian and military analyst at the RAND Corporation. She spoke with us from Alexandria, Virginia. You know, that's a brazen attack, and it's really unclear what kind of support the President Bush is going to be giving to President Zardari this week, but we'll have to watch.
And clearly it will be a topic of conversation at the United Nations General Assembly meeting, which takes place this week. And now we're going to turn to Femi Okeh, who's got the latest headlines for us. Femi?
Thanks, Adore. It is 28 minutes past the hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.